right. Good evening. Good evening, Dave. Thanks for being here. How's everyone doing tonight? You guys doing all right? Having a good day? Yeah? All right. Well, let's go ahead and start with a couple announcements, and then we'll dive into our lesson for the evening. And so right away, just a reminder about Operation Christmas Child. We've been talking about this now for quite a few weeks. Out here on the table, the left side of the table are full boxes, right side of the table are empty ones. So if you brought one back, or you are going to bring one back, you'll see the distinction there. But if you want to grab a box, we still have boxes out there to grab. We can always put more together if they go away before Sunday. So grab a box. You can fill a shoebox as an individual, as a family. It's always encouraged. Also, the Word of Life group is putting together their shoeboxes as well. So they're going to be doing that here, I think, next week. And so tonight was the items that if you wanted to donate towards their shoeboxes for Word of Life, you could have donated that tonight. If you forgot, and if you'd still like to make a donation, you can reach out to Sandra. Let her know if you're going to be bringing something. She may be able to take that on Sunday. I don't think she's really going to be doing too much shopping until maybe early next week. But talk to her if you'd like to still donate something. And what that is the Word of Life kids in their small groups will put together shoeboxes and stuff. And they really put together as many as they can with what was donated. So the amount of stuff donated equals how many boxes they do. So if you'd like to be a part of that and forgot or weren't able to, talk to Sandra. She'd love to get more information to you. Also, don't forget, November 14th. See, February 14th, that's something Valentine's Day. You know, that's always on my mind. What can I do for Sandra? So November 14th is our packing party. So that's an opportunity if you want to come together. We'll pack shoeboxes as a church. Items have been collected since June, so we'll kind of put those together as well. So that's an opportunity to be involved. And then also the drop-off location is going on 17th. Let me know, and I can direct you to Jeff. Please make sure you grab one of these. It's going to tell you all about what can and cannot go in the shoebox, and then there is a label on the back. So you want to make sure your shoebox does have a label on it, if it's for a boy or a girl, and then the age range that you're giving a box for, all right? So lots of great ways to get involved with that. Also, just a reminder, the student ministry is doing their fruit baskets. So this is a ministry they do. We've done it for many, many years. And they come together. They put all the fruit baskets together, assemble them, and then they deliver them in person to various widows, widowers, and shut-ins that are connected to our church. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can donate some items to that. You can sign up at the Welcome Center for things they may need for the baskets. And everything is due, I think it's two Wednesdays, the 19th. I think that's two Wednesdays from now. So that's going to be going on as well. Also, just a reminder, this Sunday night, the student ministry has their snack night. So Sunday night after church, the time of fellowship. Also, just a reminder that we do have the Days of Praise ladies potluck this Sunday after service. And so you can see the ladies table for more information on that. Also, some of you may have already noticed there's a lost and found table out here in the lobby. Over the course of a few months, obviously we collect various things. These were also found on the hay wagon. So if you were missing a pair of nice gloves, they were on the hay wagon that just got turned in. So if those are yours, feel free to grab them. But if you want to take a peek at the lost and found table, just make sure maybe any of those tumblers, there's kids' t-shirts, there's jackets, there's things that look like maybe from Word of Life store that were purchased and somehow never left the building. So if you want to take a peek at that table, we usually leave it up for a couple of weeks. Whatever is not taken at the end of those couple of weeks, we just donate somewhere locally. And so if you want to check that out, please do, and make sure you take a look at that, all right? Grief Share is doing their Surviving the Holidays. That's coming up this Monday, November 10th. Two locations, Maple Vista and Emily City at 1 o'clock, and here at North Goodland at 6 o'clock. It's a two-hour, one-time kind of session, and it's specifically for surviving the holidays. And so it's helping those that are going through a difficult time with the holidays after the loss of a loved one kind of know they're not alone and coming alongside with that biblical encouragement. So if you have any questions, you can contact the church, Julie Johnson. You can see Dale Moore. We can get you more information on that as well. Absolutely free as well, but you do need to sign up and register with Grief Share, not with us, with them at the Welcome Center. There is a little manila folder out there that's got all your information in there. Also, we've been talking about all the different ways you can get involved. We do have Angel Tree coming up here soon. So once Operation Christmas Child finishes up, then usually right about that Sunday that we stop doing, or the next Sunday, we stop doing Operation Christmas Child, we start with Angel Tree. And Angel Tree is an awesome opportunity to minister to families in our community that are children of loved ones who are incarcerated. And so what we want to do is kind of on behalf of those parents, you go out, you buy some Christmas presents, you'll have a name, you'll have some items that that child might want, and you'll be able to put all that together. And then our Angel Tree leaders deliver those to those families along with the gospel. So awesome way to be involved, to share the love of Christ. And so again, that's coming up real, real soon here. Okay, right after Operation Christmas Child. Another thing that's coming up in December that we really want to make sure you know about, and we talked about this on Sunday, is our refuge hosting. So the week of Christmas, we host for the refuge in Lapeer County, which is the homeless shelter. And we host for 1 week. That's December 21st through the 28th. And we have our guests come for dinner. They stay the night, and then we give them breakfast before they're taken back to the refuge in the morning. If you would like to volunteer this Sunday, there is going to be, as long as everything goes according to plan, there'll be a sign-up sheet. With that, you can sign up for different hours, different slots, all those kinds of things and ways you can be involved. We need people to help with food. We need drivers. That's one of the big things, that drivers that can actually drive out to the refuge, drive their van and our guests back, and then drivers in the morning to take our guests back to the refuge. And so we'll be praying about how you might want to be involved. And then here in a couple of weeks, we'll have a little meeting to tell you more about that. All right? I believe... Oh, and then also, real quick, I know lots of announcements. Such a fun time of year. And I really mean that. December 6th, which is the first Saturday of December, is our Deck the Halls. So hard to believe, I know, but we're going to be getting all the Christmas decorations up, all the trees. Do you remember how many trees?
Yeah, I do remember.
How many was it? 13. We have 13 Christmas trees that go up in this room. And so maybe by God's grace, we'll have a 14th one. We'll see what happens, how the Lord leads. So if you want to help with that, December 6th, is Deck the Halls, and we usually do that from 9:30 till about 2 to 3 p.m., all right? So it's a Saturday, first Saturday of the month. We'll have our men's prayer breakfast like normal. All the guys will come out at 8. We finish up about 9:15, and then we'll jump right in for our Christmas decorating, all right? So if you love Christmas decorating and you enjoy that, and even if you don't, we'd love for you to help. We'd love for some families to come together. A lot of times guys are like, oh, that's the ladies decorate. We really do need some men that can be here, because just getting the trees all put together, getting them moved around, it is a little bit of work. So the more hands we have, the better it goes. So if you're interested in that, keep that in mind as well. All right? Well, that's all the announcements that I have for upcoming events and activities. Unless anyone has questions or comments about anything upcoming, anything going on before we open in prayer? All right, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Ask the Lord to be with our service tonight and all the different ministries going on. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our midst. Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and Lord, just the way in which you meet with us. Lord, we pray that as we dive into our study tonight, that you would just give us wisdom, understanding. Help us, Lord, to grow close to you and to just know you more. Father, I pray that we would not see a distance from you and also grow closer to you in that relationship. It's not an either or, Lord, it's a both. And so I pray that as we grow in our understanding and knowledge of some things tonight that we're going to talk about, I pray it would directly lead us to a deeper worship of you, a greater devotion to you, a greater affection for you, and that it would lead to our lives being, Lord, just that lighthouse to others. Not a lighthouse that is perfect, but a lighthouse that shows your perfection, your grace, your mercy, and your faithfulness. And so, Lord, again, may you be with us tonight as we go through this time of study. Be with all the ministries going on tonight, Lord, for the children's ministry and all the workers and volunteers that are helping and serving there. For our student ministry upstairs, just be with them. Thank you for them and for every student that you've brought in to the service tonight. Just pray you'd work in a mighty way. Lord, draw them close to you. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and in our church here, Lord, all the different ministries, activities. We pray you'd bless each one for your glory. And Father, we do take just a moment and we pray for the situation that happened earlier right here in Elmont. Lord, we think about this situation with that person that went into that factory and made some decisions, Lord, to choose violence. And I'm thankful that from what I've heard, Lord, it wasn't worse than it could have been. Lord, that you worked in all of that, Lord. Thank you for the first responders and those that were on the scene to help resolve the situation. And Lord, we just pray to be with everyone involved. We pray that you'd work in a mighty way and that through that situation that your glory would go forth, your gospel would go forth, and Lord, that you would just work in that and bring good from that. And so, Father, again, we thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for your love and grace, your mercy, your gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we would just be, again, thankful to worship you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, tonight, I'd like to do a study, start a little study. As I was thinking about talking about kind of the faithfulness of God and the loving kindness of God in a couple weeks, we'll see how it goes. And so I have a handout for you guys. There are little fill-in-the-blanks, but it's like one fill-in-the-blank per point, okay? So I do have clipboards. If you would like one, you can have one. If you don't need one, that's fine. But I do need a volunteer like to hand out the handouts. Who'd like to do that? I'm just going to start saying Paige is going to do it. There you go. Yeah. Anyone need a pen? Pens? I do have pens up here if I can get somebody to help with pens. Awesome. Thank you. And then clipboards. Maybe Jeff. Awesome. We got a bunch up here, but I'm not going to make you carry them all around. I guess if we need more, we'll have them. So if you need a clipboard, you can see Jeff, Paige has got your handouts, and then pens. If you need a pen, take care of that. See, she's doing it again. I tell you what, distracting your neighbor. Awesome, thank you. Appreciate it, sir. All right, once everyone's good, we'll go ahead and jump in. You know, I would move her somewhere else, but she'll probably just make friends there, you know? She's just that friendly, you know? It's like Josiah. They move him, and he just makes friends with the person they move him next to, and he talks to them. Anyone else need anything? Thanks, Paige. All right. Everyone's good? Oh, there you go. All right, so what I'd like to do is, again, we're going to look at 15 attributes, key attributes of our God. Now, that's not exhaustive, right? I'm not saying this is all there is to know. But what I'd like to do is, again, as it says in your outline there, kind of look at these attributes, these characteristics of our God, and through this condensed list of 15 key attributes, to understand him deeper, fuller, so that our worship is deeper and our trust is fuller. To say that it is important for us to try to understand what God is like is a huge understatement. Failure to do so can cause us to set up, chase after, and worship false gods contrary to his will. The more we grow to know who he is, the more we will learn to trust him, to worship him as he is worthy of, which we obviously we fall short of doing that in perfections, but we can worship the different aspects of who he is. And that all comes from knowing him more. And I think the more we know him and the more we trust in him, the more comfort we'll have when we live in this fallen world. Because this world is broken, right? Every day we see stories. I mean, just this morning, like I said, we hear stories about things that it just breaks our heart. You're just amazed at how broken and fallen our world really is. And if we're not careful, we can start to shift our focus off of who he is and onto what we see, and it leads to discouragement, feelings of being defeated. But rather, when we center our attention on him and who he is, man, our trust is strong in him, and we have a peace, not because everything's working out as we want, but because we have a peace in who he is, right? And so we're going to talk about some aspects of his character that I hope will drive that home even tonight. Now, after each attribute, what I would like to do is we're going to talk about each one a little bit. And again, we could spend weeks on each one of these, let alone 15 of them. But after each one, I want to ask just a general question of how that attribute specifically that we're going to reference encourages you, speaks to you in some way, strengthens your walk with Christ in some way. So as we're talking about the attribute, whatever one it is, at the end of that, I'm going to ask, how does that attribute speak to you? And I would love to hear from you guys kind of how knowing what we talk about, hearing what we're talking about, how that helps you in some way, encourages you in some way, strengthens you in some way, all right? So just be thinking about that as we're going through these, all right? Now, I have much more notes than you guys have. You kind of have a condensed version. You've got the verses and the main point, things like that. If you want a copy of these notes, I can do that. I don't know how many pages it is, but quite a few pages. So if you want that, this has got all the quotes, and I'm going to reference a bunch of authors and different writings to try to really give you a full picture of what we're talking about. All right. So number one, and by the way, all of these are important. Number one isn't more important than number 15. Okay. It's just listing them as we go through this, but they're all equally important because they're describing our amazing God. Okay. So number one, God is infinite. God is infinite. Okay? He is self-existing without origin. Like, think about that for a second. He is self-existing without origin. Is that us? Are we self-existing? Do we have an origin, a beginning? Yes. And it's because of God that we were brought into creation, into existence. The Bible says in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is before all things. Everything that you can imagine that is or has been, he's before it because he is creator. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. His understanding is beyond measure. He understands and knows things that we can't even begin to fathom. Now, I'm not the brightest crayon, okay? I'm just going to put it out there. Some of you are not surprised by that statement. You're like, yeah, we kind of figured that out. I appreciate your grace all these years. But there's some people I've met. Tim C. is by far, in my small impression, one of the smartest people I've ever met in my entire life. And it's not that he is so smart with even necessarily academics and those things, but he's so intelligent and he has the ability to take his intelligence and apply it in real world situations. I've met people that are really smart, book smart, but aren't able to really practically explain or to do, right? They know it, but they can't communicate it. Tim C. is one that he is so intelligent and yet he can put it into practice. He knows how to apply these things. He's truly wise. But even someone like a Tim C. that knows so much more than I probably ever will, right? I think about giants of the faith. John MacArthur recently went home to be with the Lord. Whether or not you agree with John MacArthur's doctrines or whatever, the man was massively intelligent. Some of these individuals have these massive abilities to just know things, and they pale in comparison to even the smallest measure of what God knows. We can never fathom all that God is. The fact that God is self-existent, that he was created by nothing and has always existed forever. Let me say that again. And has always self-existent, that he was created by nothing and has always existed forever is perhaps one of the hardest attributes of God for the believer to understand. In our limitedness, grasping the nature of our limitless God is like holding onto water as it rages down a river. Indeed, Tozer, one of the authors I'm going to reference tonight, Tozer writes this about the confusing, head-spinning attributes of God's infinity. He says this, to admit that there is one who lies beyond us, who exists outside of all of our categories, who will not be dismissed with a name, who will not appear before the bar of our reason, nor submit to our curious inquiries, this requires a great deal of humility, more than most of us possess. So we save face by thinking God down to our level, or at least down to where we can manage him. Have you ever prayed a prayer where you tried to manage God, bring him down to our level? He is vastly beyond anything you can even comprehend. His greatness, his power, his majesty. And this is why when people see the throne of God in a vision, what's their first reaction? What are the authors of God's word who have been blessed to see a vision of the throne room of God? What happens when they see it? What happens to them physically? They fall on their knees. They fall on their face. Why? Because they cannot believe what their eyes are seeing. They can't even explain. What does Paul say? Taken to the third heaven. What I've seen, I can't even put into words, he says. And so if that's the authors of God's word that have received direct revelation from God, they see the throne of God and they can't even put words to it. Isn't it amazing? When they describe the throne room of God, they describe the throne and what's around the throne and what comes from the throne. They don't describe who sits on the throne. You ever notice this? They don't describe God, right? What do they describe? The sounds from the throne, the lightning and the flashing and the thunder. They describe around the throne all of that incredible beauty and all the angels. But even looking upon the throne, they're in awe. They can't put it into words. And that's the God that we worship. He is self-existent. Nothing created him, and he's always been. This is why it's pretty amazing when you work with children. They will often ask, what was before God? Have you ever had a child ask you that? Your own kid maybe ask you that? Okay, there was God. What was before God? Well, nothing. Well, what do you mean there's nothing before God? There's got to be something before God. No, it was just God. Well, yeah, what was before that? God. And it's hard for our brains to grasp that because we want a beginning and an end. We want a timeline, right? But God is not conducive to our timeline. He doesn't fit on our timeline. He is beyond that. I love what Dr. Adrian Rogers, the Lord many years ago now, but just a tremendous giant in the faith. All through, 80s, 90s, he was a giant of the faith. Dr. Rogers writes this about the self-existence of God. He says, the name Jehovah is used some 6,800 times in the Bible. It is the personal covenant name of Israel's God. In the King James Version of the Bible, it's translated Lord God, capital L, capital G. Not only does it speak to God's strength, but also it speaks to the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God. The root of this name means self-existing. The one who never came into being and one who will always be. So not only has he never come into being, he will never cease. He will always be. When Moses asked God, who shall I tell Pharaoh has sent me? God said, what? What was the answer to Moses? I am that I am. Jehovah or Yahweh is the most intensely sacred name to Jewish scribes, and many will not even pronounce the name. When possible, they use another name because they see in that name the power of God's self-existence. He is self-sustaining. God needs nothing. And I don't know, sometimes I forget that. Because I start to project what I need and who I am onto who God is. And we remind ourselves in prayer when we're humbling ourselves, he is not like us. There is nothing like him, right? There is nothing like our God. Nothing compares. God doesn't need us to exist. God doesn't need your love to exist. He was perfectly content in the Godhead, unified in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's not like when he created man, now finally he has joy or love or enjoyment. He was completely content and perfect as they are as a Godhead. He chose to create us for relationship and that we would worship him and praise him and glorify him. And so he is the infinite God without measure. You cannot confine him. So, as I said, how does that attribute speak to you? When you know that and you think and dwell on that truth, how does that speak to you? How does that encourage you? Or how does that strengthen you in your walk with Christ? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why when you listen to these big scholars, that's where they fail.
Mm.
the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them that is because the Bible says that there is a veil in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it, but you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see, but you can't see.
Right.
And the only thing, the only one that can take that away is the Holy Spirit. Unless you have the Holy Spirit, you can read the Bible all you want. You're never going to understand. You can see the words. You can study it all you want, but without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand anything. And it's not that we understand the infinite God, but He reveals enough to us that we believe in Him.
Yes, absolutely.
Believe that the earth is only about 6,000 years old.
Right.
We are to think that maybe if God is infinite and always has been.
Right.
When He rolls us, when He rolls our universe up, that we know, that in time and space that we know, when He rolls that up and He's done with that, and then He has a plan for our eternity. Has there been before? Will there be after? You know what I mean? It boggles your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I love what you said, that through the Holy Spirit, it's not that we understand all that God is in His infinite nature and characteristics and abilities. It's that we understand what He's revealed to us has given us what we need to know so we can know that God. We don't know everything about that God, but we know enough about Him through Christ to know Him and have relationship with Him. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yet that He is man. All the fullness of God was into a man. And sometimes, I don't know, this is just me.
Sure.
Okay. Somebody might think, man, that guy's nuts.
Right.
Jesus Christ has always been. You know, He is the Word. And the Word has always been, and everything was created by Him, for Him, by Him, and everything is held together.
Right.
So that's the only way that our human minds can understand.
Yeah.
So He calls Himself, because it's human form, my Son.
Well, and God is... and God is so gracious because in His Word, throughout His Word, He describes or explains things that we will understand. And so He's so gracious to put it in language that we're able to comprehend. We don't fully understand what it all means, but we can understand the truth behind what's being communicated, basically. Yeah, no, that's a great point. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? How does this attribute speak to you in some way? Brett?
I mean, never worry that you won't understand.
Yeah.
What I'm feeling, what I've done, because His understanding is beyond measure. There's nothing that He won't
do. I love that. That there's nothing He doesn't understand. No matter what we go through, we don't have to fear that He doesn't get it. He knows, He understands what we're going through, and He knows what we need when we need it. And that's why I love the Word says that He knows our needs before we even ask. Now, we ask because He calls us to ask, and we lay before Him our requests, but He is so gracious and wise. He knows all of that. And there's nothing we can ask of Him or say to Him that He's like, I didn't see that coming. So I love that. That I don't need to fear He doesn't understand, right? Absolutely. Maybe one more, if there's anyone else with thoughts on that. How does that understanding of God's infinite nature encourage you? Any other thoughts on that before we move on? Okay, I think that's an encouragement, how little you are and how big he is, right? Yeah, that's a great encouragement, actually, because when we humble ourselves and we exalt him, that's when we're going to live in that right standing with him and that right mindset where we make it about him and not us. What does John say? He must increase and I must decrease. And when that was happening, there was so much peace and joy in John's life. It's when we try to increase and decrease him that we end up having all the problems, right? Because we're more focused on self. So there you go. I was waiting for something to hit the wall. There's usually a lot of cheering before something hits the wall. Or crying. Cheering and then crying because somebody hit the wall. All right, number two. So as I said, obviously we're just going to work through here little by little and see where we end up. Number two, God is immutable. Immutable. That's I-M-M-U-T-A-B-L-E. Immutable. Okay? No. I-M-M-U-T-A-B-L-E. Yes, two M's. Immutable. Okay? And all this means is he never, I the Lord do. And I love that verse specifically. Now, there's many verses that talk about God not changing, the same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews. But this verse specifically, what an encouragement. He's saying, because I don't change, my promises don't change. Right? Because I'm the same, because I'm without change, my promises, my word doesn't change. God does not change. Who he is never changes. Who he is, his actual character, his attributes are the same from before the beginning of time into eternity. His character never changes. He never gets better or worse, right? This is so unlike us. We're constantly getting better and getting worse, improving and falling behind. He never changes. Not only does he not change, his character not change, his plans do not change, and his promises do not change. Again, this ought to be a source of incredible joy for believers. We should be so thankful that he does not change. Author Sam Storms writes this about the good news of God's unchanging nature. What all this means, very simply, is that God is dependable. Our trust in him is therefore a confident trust, for we know that he will not, indeed cannot, change. His purposes are unfailing, his promises unassailable. It is because the God who promised us eternal life is immutable that we may rest assured that nothing, not trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, shall separate us from the love of Christ. It is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not even powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's a reference, obviously, to Romans 8, 35 through 39. And I think for me, this is so encouraging, especially in the world we live in today. Because as much as we see him not change, everything else around us changes, right? Everything changes. Our ultimate confidence and hope and trust is not found in anything else other than him. Because here's the reality. I will fail you. Your spouse could and will fail you. You will fail yourself, right? You will change. I will change. Over time, people that we look to can change and can fail and fall short, right? A promise made today may not be a promise kept tomorrow. Not because the person necessarily lied or intentionally deceived or broke the promise, but I cannot guarantee you 1,000% that I will keep every single promise I've ever made. I can't guarantee that. I can't promise my sons I'll always be there for you. I can't promise that. Why? Because things change. Situations change, circumstances change, life changes. We strive to keep those things. We strive to live in a way that honors Christ. We strive to honor those that are around us and with us and who we serve. But we change. This is why trust is so fragile in our world today. Because we trust in something or someone and things change. Whether of their own doing, whether of circumstances or situations or whatever might happen. But God is the only one that is truly unchanging. When he says in his word, if you believe in me, if you confess me as Lord, if you trust in me as Savior, I will keep you. He doesn't change that promise based on your performance. But praise God, right? He doesn't change that promise based on how he feels one day versus another. He is constant. He is unchanging. Now, like we said last week and the week before, he doesn't change. That may change, but he thinks on the unchanging nature of our God. How does that attribute speak to you? How does that encourage you in some way?
It gives you comfort. If you've ever been on a job or worked somewhere, one day this is okay, the next day it's not okay.
Sure.
It's just chaotic or just inside you. You don't know what to do.
Okay.
God just gives you
that comfort. Absolutely. Amen. Any other thoughts? How does that truth encourage you?
I guess it means no matter what kind of power of God, there's still that little light.
Okay. Okay. So no matter what tunnel you're going through, there's always that light at the end, right? It's always in view. I love that. He's unchanging and he's always there, right? He doesn't leave us or forsake us. Again, that's a promise he made and he's keeping, right? And in the tunnel, in the storm, in the struggle, it may feel like he's not. That light may feel pretty far off, right? But we know we rest assured in the word of God, right? That he is unchanging. Number three. And then we'll probably pause. Well, we'll see how we do. Number three. So God is self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. Now, this is similar to that he is self-existing, but I want to take it a little step farther with his self-sufficiency. He has no needs. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. That phrase, life in himself, means he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything to exist. He doesn't need anything to be content. Right? He is self-sufficient. As limited humans, we have incredible needs. Man, we are a needy people, right? We need stuff all the time. I tell my kids that when they were younger. I'm like, y'all just some needy, broke people. It's like, you get a job. Like, you're just always asking me for stuff. My son, Josiah, has a milkshake problem, I think. I think he has an addiction. We're trying to work through it. We're praying over it. We're hoping it'll get some success. But often, I always know he'll come in the room and he'll kind of linger. You have a kid that lingers and kind of gives you that look. And he's like, hey, so, and I know exactly what's coming. He's like, how about a, or he'll say, how about a milkshake? Or do you feel like a milkshake? You want a milkshake? And I'm like, well, I know you're not asking because you're going to buy me one. Like, I know you're asking because you want me to buy you one. But we all have needs, right? We have wants, we have desires, which left unfilled, when those needs go left unfilled, can ultimately result in death. Food, water, these are needs we have to have. Air to breathe, right? These are things we have to have. However, God, as Tim Temple writes, flesh and willfully chose to humble himself and become the God-man, as Dave alluded to, and take on flesh so that he might die on the cross. We know that Jesus exhibited needs in the flesh, right? He ate, he slept, he needed food and water and these things. He took that upon, he willfully put him in that, himself in that situation to need those things. But as God, he never once needed anything. And today, once he ascended, he doesn't need any of that because he is self-sufficient. Because God is self-sufficient, we can go to him to satisfy all our needs. We never have to worry about drying up his never-ending well of goodness, as one author wrote. Not only his well of goodness, but of peace and mercy and grace. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. What can God do? Anything within his will. What's that? Ephesians 3:20, yes. He can do anything. And I love that Paul says immeasurably more. So much more. Like, if you can imagine it and you can think it, God can do vastly more than that. And so, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think about my prayer life. And I'm not talking about praying selfish prayers or self-indulgent prayers where it's like, you know, we want to consume it upon our own lust, as James warns us not to do. That doesn't mean we don't pray for our wants and desires, but we do it with his will in mind, not our own. But as I pray for things, I don't know if I truly think he's that God when I pray. I think I pray with limitations. I think I pray sometimes thinking God can do this and no more. And we do this in all areas of our life if we're not careful. But man, when we realize that he is self-sufficient and that he is able, then we would pray big, or as one pastor says, dangerous prayers. We're praying for God to do the big things because he is a God that can do anything within his will. So again, he is self-sufficient. He has no needs of anything. So he doesn't need you. He doesn't need me, which is pretty amazing that he invites us into a relationship. Not because he needs us, but because he wants us, right? Oh, so close. Good. Man, that was quick. She was on that. I couldn't even get the words out. I was like, and she already got them. I was like, that's awesome. All right, so as we think about this idea of self-sufficiency of God, that he is self-sufficient, how does that attribute speak to you in some way? How does that encourage you in some way? Okay. Right. Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. What an encouragement that he wants us. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he doesn't need us, but he desires a relationship with us. He wants us involved. He doesn't need us to do the things on earth that he can't do. He invites us into this relationship so that we can be a part of what he is doing in the world, right? Absolutely. Anyone else? Any other thoughts on that? How that attribute encourages you or speaks to you in some way? Right. Yes, I love that. We're not self-sufficient, so it's a comfort to go to a God who is, right? Absolutely. Awesome. Any other thoughts before we move into prayer? All right, so we're going to pause here, and we'll pick up next week. And when we're all done, you can bring up your pens and clipboards and all that stuff. Don't worry about that right now. Just set it aside. Just a reminder as well with prayer time. We do have some of these prayer guides left from the day of prayer for the persecuted church. So be remembering to pray for that, those prayers. If you're open or closed nation, those nations, and just praying effectively for the needs of the believers, frontline workers, those serving in those areas. And so as we said on Sunday, we want to continue to pray for the persecuted church and pray for the Lord to do a great work there, but not so much to that they would learn from us, but that we would learn from them, right, and endure, absolutely. So we'll take some prayer concerns, and then we'll pray in just a minute. And so any prayer concerns, any prayer requests, anything anyone has prayer on before we pray? Prayer concerns of any kind before we pray? Yeah, Britt. Okay. Yep, continue to pray for Britt's brother Joe, has a court date tomorrow in the process of just getting some things taken care of and all of that. So I want to pray that it goes well. Praise, he's continuing in sobriety, so we praise the Lord for that. And then you'd mentioned there was like an obstacle in the way of him and his wife being restored. So we want to pray that obstacle is removed and God does a great work there, absolutely. Anyone else? Prayer requests or a praise before we pray? Yes, pray for the nation. Again, that's one of the other reasons why this study kind of jumped out to me for tonight. I wanted to remind ourselves of who our God is, even in the midst of all that we see in the world around us. I can only describe it as just blind foolishness. But we shouldn't be surprised, right? That's what the Word of God says will continue to happen, right? As we keep our eyes on self instead of the Lord. But praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, as I've always said, like the last couple of weeks, praying for maturity and wisdom to prevail and not whatever this is we're seeing right now. So I want to pray for those things. Pray for all of those who are military personnel, all of those who are currently not being paid. That includes those that are receiving pensions and stuff. I didn't think about that until recently. A veteran said that they weren't getting their check either. And so I want to be praying for all those individuals, air traffic controllers. I've talked with Dave Chan a little bit about that. A lot of the people that he knows that's in that field, they're still going to work. They're still showing up. So I'll be praying for all those involved that are affected by all this shutdown stuff, obviously. Anyone else? I think it's dodgeball. That's what I think is going on over there. Anyone else? Pray for what? Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's Caleb and Andrew, so they're having just as much fun as the kids are. They're enjoying their life right now. But get to relive their childhood teen years. It's probably great. So, anyone? All right. So I know it's a lot going on over there, so just do your best. As I've said before, in the future, if it's easier for you for hearing and focusing, you can move closer if you would like to be more together so you can hear people as they're praying. If that would help you, you don't have to. But if you'd like to, you can, obviously moving forward. But is there anybody that would like to open us in prayer this evening? And then we'll open up for just a free time of prayer. And again, you're welcome to pray if you'd like out loud. You don't have to, but if you feel led to, you're welcome to. But would somebody like to open us in prayer? Dave? All right, and in a nice loud voice, Dave's going to open us. I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. All right, Dave, go ahead, brother.